Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for another Checkoff Chat, brought to you courtesy of the Wisconsin Beef Council and your Checkoff dollars, as well as our friends at the Equity Livestock Sales Association. Remember, the goal of the Checkoff Chat conversation is to make sure that beef and dairy beef producers are well aware of how your Checkoff dollars are being spent, not just here in Wisconsin, to try to reach out to people like healthcare professionals. We've got a big event coming up in May that partners on behalf of the American Heart Association, but also reaching international borders with the message about how good U.S. beef is. Joining us today is Greg Haynes. He is on the U.S. Meat Export Federation Board. And I'll tell you what, you may not realize exactly what the U.S. Meat Export Federation is doing on behalf of Wisconsin beef producers. Greg, thanks for checking in. First, before we get too far down the road, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a fellow with practical experience in the beef industry.
Yeah, hi, Pam. How are you? Appreciate the opportunity today, so thanks for having me on here. Basically, originally, I'm from Wyoming, so another W state, I guess, there, and then had actually spent a lot of time overseas. So lived in Japan for about 10, 11 years total, and have been working with the U.S. Meat Export Federation now for about 16 years. So we've been doing a lot, and really appreciate the support and the help that we get from the Checkoff, especially from groups like the Wisconsin Beef Council.
All right, yeah, and that's what we want to focus in on, the beef Checkoff dollars in Wisconsin and the help that it gives on the international message. Greg, you just got back from Japan. You were there for an extended period of time. You know, sometimes it's very difficult, especially when we're challenged with lower prices domestically, to think about the benefits those international visits can have. Tell me how the whole process of the U.S. Meat Export Federation in those foreign markets helps to benefit our Wisconsin producers.
Right. Well, the key thing really for us is to move those products that have less value here in the United States and get those into the international markets where they usually have a higher demand and a higher value there. The advantages of our production system are that, A, we have a variety of different breeds that we're able to market and sell in the different markets. So you've got Angus, you've got Holstein, you have everything. But we also have a grading system that helps us differentiate as well. So some markets may be looking for higher quality grades like Prime or Choice, where other ones are maybe a little bit more price sensitive, so they may be looking for Select or even lower. So this gives us a lot of opportunities to really go in, identify what the needs of those markets are, what types of products and the grading and the cuts and everything that will fit into that, and then move those into those countries. And in most cases, the products we're exporting aren't really the demand items that we have here in the U.S. You know, in the U.S., we're pretty much a steak and burger market. So you've got your middle meats, and then you've got other products that are ground and used for hamburgers. Well, our goal is a lot of these cuts that would probably just go into grind here in the U.S., those are actually demand items in these different markets that sell for a premium. So by exporting those into these markets, we're able to get a higher value for those cuts, and that's what really brings that value back to the producers. So, for example, if you'd look at, I don't know, chuck rolls or beef tongues or short plate, intestines, different variety meats like that. Those all go overseas for a premium, and that total premium last year equaled almost $280 per head, or actually over that. So this is value that wouldn't be achieved if we weren't able to move these cuts overseas.
What specifically do our partners in Japan like to see? I mean, people have to realize that we are rebuilding that relationship with Japan, getting our white tablecloth beef back in there. What are they preferring right now, Greg?
Right, yeah, Japan's actually our biggest market for value and volume, so huge and very important market for us. Some of the challenges that we have there, though, are some of the duty differences that we have. Australia has a free trade agreement with Japan, so they have about a 10% duty advantage on us getting their product in there. So that's where the key thing is, you know, really being able to show that quality of the U.S. Beef, and show those different cuts that fit into the cooking styles there. So a big item there, if you look at, like, say, frozen beef, that's going into short plates. So that will be sliced thin and kind of boiled in a kind of a soy sauce-type soup with onions and things, and then topped on rice. So that's the beef bowl or gyudon. And so those premiums that they pay for short plate, again, add a lot of value to us. Japanese-style barbecue, or yakiniku as it's called, they take thin slices of beef and you cook it at the table. And for that, probably beef tongue, short ribs, short plate, hanging tenders, inside skirts, cuts like that that, again, aren't demand items are perfect for that cooking style. And so they pay premiums for that. And with Australia going in at a cheaper price, that's where we have to really be able to push that quality and the advantages that we have with especially our grain feeding and, again, the variety of the products and grades and breeds that we have can really meet the demand for all the different types of buyers in markets like that.
Yeah, wow. Greg Hayton's joining us. He is with the U.S. Meat Export Federation. He is, we should say, the face of U.S. beef for a lot of international markets. We're talking about Japan. Let's talk about that boots-on-the-ground experience, Greg. We find in agriculture that we are still very much driven on relationships, on people, on telling the story. When you show up in a market, give us a little sense on what you actually do. Is it all about PowerPoints, or are you actually in test kitchens? Are you actually working with retailers when it comes to finding new recipes for, like you said, those value-added cuts?
Right. It's really a little bit of all of that that you're mentioning there. So we have about 18 offices around the world. Those offices are mostly staffed by the locals of those countries. So, for example, in Japan, all our staff there are Japanese, so they know the language, they know the customs, they know the buyers. And so we're over there, too, visiting, talking to them. I mean, we're trying to put a face on the industry. So countries like Japan are importing 60% of their food. So they're at the, I guess, you know, they're basically reliant on systems that they have no control of. So that makes you a little bit nervous if you're, you know, you're bringing in product and feeding it to your family. You know, is it really safe? So we need to be over there, and we show them, and we tell them, hey, here's where this product's coming from. Here are the producers. Here's the industry. Here's what we're doing to ensure that you have the highest quality and best products available to you. And then we are working with the chefs and the retailers and showing them different ways that they can prepare beef items or ways they can merchandise it at retail and all of that. So really, even in a large market like Japan, there's a lot of education that's going on these different cuts and trying to differentiate from the different products. And then you have other markets, you know, newer emerging markets in Central South America that, again, education is key, and you've got a whole different range of competitors and cooking styles and different concerns that they may have. But again, they want to see, you know, who's producing this. They want to have that trust. So face-to-face is critically important. And actually next month, representatives from the Wisconsin Beef Council are going to be going to Central America, to Guatemala and El Salvador, and meeting with some of these importers and the distributors and the food service and retail companies. And that's in value because it really does put that face and helps develop that trust and helps, you know, just build the commerce and the relationships between the two countries.
How hot is Central America, and I'm not talking weather, for our Wisconsin beef or for U.S. beef? I know that's an area you've got emphasis to, Greg.
Yeah, no, Central America has done really well. Last year, total beef exports, we were up. It was a record year for volume globally. We were up about 9% through December. But if you look at Central America, Central America's growth was actually 40%. So it was kind of bucking the average trend there. And as well, it's a smaller market, it's got that faster growth. And so we see this as offering a lot of potential. And again, it's a market that is a lot more, you know, it's a market, I guess, with many different countries, with different tastes and requirements, typically a lot more price sensitive, but you've got this emerging middle class and upper class that's looking for higher quality proteins, and that's where, again, we can go in and serve it with the different types of offerings that we have here in the U.S.
So opportunity, just as quick as they can turn Greg Haynes' plane around, huh?
Yes, we've got people down there, too, and help from the industry, so it's really, you know, a team effort as far as getting down there and spreading the good word and making sure that the buyers and sellers or the importers there really understand the attributes and the benefits and the value of U.S. beef.
Excellent. Well, maybe I'll catch up with you after you touch base with my Wisconsin posse in Central America, okay?
Yeah, no, we're looking forward for them being down there. I think they'll do a great job. They've done a lot of help with us as far as education with chefs and with retailers and food service in those markets. I think they've really helped kind of push what we're doing, especially in Guatemala. Guatemala has seen some of the best growth down there. They were up about 145% last year. So all this really ties together. And I think, again, different cuts that we wouldn't be consuming here are going down there for a premium and moving them off fair market, which keeps our prices here higher as well.
Beautiful. I love it. Well, we will catch up with him, Greg Haynes, in case you're just joining us. He is the Assistant Vice President for International Marketing and Programs through the U.S. Meat Export Federation, supported in part by your Wisconsin Beef Checkoff dollars. And like you said, some of our Wisconsin folks headed to Central America to try to improve opportunity for you there. It's all brought to you courtesy of your Beef Checkoff dollars and the Wisconsin Beef Council, as well as our friends at the Equity Livestock Sales Association. Don't forget, for more details on what's happening with things like this joint venture with U.S. Meat Export Federation, follow the Wisconsin Beef Council on Facebook. Just look for Wisconsin Beef Council or online, beeftips.com. That's your Checkoff Chat. I'm Pam Yonke.